Okay, for the month of May and June, as you would have known, we are covering every, as much as we can, aspect of relationships from the family. We started with Family Mother's Day, all right, and last night we had Parents Appreciation Day, all the way through Father's Day in the mid of June to celebrate family and so forth. Let's pray. Father, we pray now as we look into your word, we ask of you, Holy Spirit, to unpack your word, grant each of us clarity and your grace to humble ourselves, to obey you, and to submit to the authority of your word. Speak to us now as we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I thought in the midst of these 2 months to introduce this topic of spiritual covering, a very important topic. In Deuteronomy chapter 25, Moses recounted to Israel what happened at Rephidim. He told them, remember what Amalek did to you on the way as you were coming out of Egypt. How he met you on the way and attacked your rear ranks. Who were in the rear ranks? The slow ones, the elderly, the children, the women, the stragglers, all the stragglers at your rear when you were tired and weary. If you are tired, you are weary, you are a straggler, you are a visitor, you are at the fringe of the church, you are not fully plugged in, you are vulnerable. Like this category of people. The Amalekites are after you. The Amalekites were a force, they were the grandchildren of Esau who were conceived in iniquity, and even the best of Israel's army could not defeat them militarily. They required divine intervention, as we're going to read in a moment. And the account actually happened in Exodus 17. Everybody on the count of three, read. 1, 2, 3. Now. A very significant passage. Israel came to Rephidim. Rephidim is a place of rest, of refreshment. On their way to Mount Sinai, they were attacked. The Amalekites represent the spiritual forces against Israel, against the people of God, against you and I. I mentioned that Joshua and his fighting men, they could not have won the Amalekites. It required Moses to go up to the mountain and to bring up his rod before God in heaven. And because the battle prevailed ferociously, all right, Moses could not hold the rod to heaven continuously. He was tired. And each time his hands was up, they prevailed. Each time his hands was down, Joshua lost. And his hands became heavy. It required Aaron and Hur to support the hands of Moses. Teamwork. This is spiritual warfare. And throughout, as you look into Israel, whenever the banner, the rod is raised to God, they won. Whenever, this is the same rod that led to the 10 plagues in Egypt. This was the same rod that parted the Red Sea. And God specifically told Moses, alright, the Lord said to Moses, verse 14, Exodus 17, write this for a memorial in the book. And recount it, repeat it, tell it again. And Moses built an altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner. The rod of God in Moses' hand, raised to the Lord in faith, was God's banner. You know, in war, in military, all right? You watch Cowboy Street Indians, you watch army after army. One of the things they carry in war is the banner, the flag. We call it the flag. And whenever the flag is up, the soldiers way back, half a kilometer, 1 kilometer, they see the flag up, keep on attacking. It was a motivational force. They look at the flag. And the enemy's first battle tactic is to take down that flag and to put up the enemy's flag. That's what you do in battle. And similarly, that flag, that roar for us, all right, is called the banner of God. It's called Jehovah Nissi. The rod for us, what the rod was to Moses, to us, it is Jesus Christ. And although I mentioned the name of Jesus here on the slide, there are three things to the name of Jesus. There are three things of Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord to us. There are three spiritual weapons. Number one is the name of Jesus. We have three spiritual weapons. Number one is the name of Jesus. Number two is the blood of Jesus. As we partake the Lord's elements, as we drink of the cup, one of the grace is that with the blood, we overcome the evil one, which will become clearer as you listen to the message. And the third is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. These three components, these three are the facets of the banner of God. When David confronted Goliath, same thing. He says, you come to me in the name of your God. I come against you, Goliath, in the name of Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. The banner of God. You raise up the banner. You raise up the rod. You raise up the name of Jesus. That is our banner of victory. And that is the name of God. And the name of God is called Jehovah Nissi. This is our spiritual covering. And we must understand that. Jehovah Nissi means the Lord is my banner of victory. Every word that we sang just now, the Lord, you are my shelter, you are my tower of refuge. You are my covering, you are my hope, you are my strength. This is our banner. We declare, we proclaim, we raise up the banner. And when we raise up the banner, it is not just singing and making sound syllables. We are doing warfare. We come into the presence of God. We come into the presence of God with clean hands and pure hearts. Psalms 24. And immediately the psalmist declared, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is strong and mighty. Lift up your heads, O you gates. The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. He goes before us. He is our rear guard. Jesus. The name of Jesus. I want to define spiritual covering that it has primarily to do with accountability. Accountability in a relationship that is connected back to God. In a sense, there's no such thing to say that I'm only accountable to God, I'm accountable to no human being. God has not decreed it that way. Even as he said in 1 John 4, nobody can say, I love God and hate his brother. You can't. That vertical must always be connected to the horizontal, because God has created us to be social beings in a community. And we're going to describe that in this message. So spiritual covering has primarily to do with accountability. And accountability must be reciprocated by covering, by prayer covering in a relationship. In a family, in the church, in the workplace, in the nation. That accountability in a relationship, and because this is a Christian relationship, it is the spiritual relationship that's connected back to our banner, to God Himself. There are other accountable relationships, but they are not necessarily connected back to our God. Okay? So this is spiritual covering. So in the Exodus 17 passage, when Joshua was in battle in the valley, Moses was on the mountain providing air cover. Providing that covering so that ensured victory. When the banner was raised, he was victorious. When the banner is down, he lost the battle. He was losing. And it looks cartoon, right? I mean, banner up, win. Banner down, he lose. It looks cartoon, but it's not cartoon. This has spiritual significance. Why we must raise that banner? Okay? So just to give an illustration in the military, watch this video about air cover. How military troops cannot attack unless there is air cover to pave the way for them. The video, please.
I want you to give me all the air support you can get me on that mountain. Now.
Requesting immediate close air support. I need you to burn them out on Hilltop Alpha. Bravo. Coordinates.
Just a 45-second clip. To give us a flavor and understanding, we need air cover. We need protection. You know, like when the police is going to raid a place, all right, he says, cover me. Cover me means wash my back. Cover means wash my blind spot, all right? I'm going to attack. I'm going to raid the place. Wash my back. Cover me. And this whole idea. When I'm up here, I'm covered. When I go out, and for all of us, we need to understand this whole, all the biblical principles of spiritual covering. Let's go into the word. Number one, our ultimate covering comes from God. Let's settle that. He is our shelter. In Proverbs, we are told the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it, and we are safe. Deuteronomy 33:12. The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him who shelters. Who covers, all right? The idea of sheltering, the idea of covering him all day long, and he should dwell between his shoulders. Psalms 91 verse 4. Psalms 91 is a protection psalm. And verse 4 is the picture of a mother hen gathering her chicks. He says, the Lord will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. Refuge from what? Refuge from the storm. Refuge from your predators. Refuge from your enemies. Refuge from people who seek you harm. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. Isaiah 51:16, and I put my words in your mouth, I've covered you with the shadow of my hand. I love that. And in John chapter 10, if you remember, Jesus says that we are in his hands. No one can pluck us out of his hands. And not only are we in his hands, Jesus' hands is in the Father's hand. And no one can pluck us out of the Father's hand. Isaiah 61:10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, for he has clothed me. Not only is it the idea of a shelter, it is the idea of clothing as a covering. He has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Throughout scriptures, we find that this spiritual covering is always in the context of relationships. And specifically, covenant relationships. Between God and his people. The Abrahamic covenant that continued to Isaac, to Jacob. The Noahic covenant where God told Noah, no longer will I destroy the earth with a flood that is over the entire earth. The Noahic covenant. The Mosaic covenant. 10 plagues. And after the 3rd plague, you read very carefully in Exodus chapter 3 to chapter 12, where it says that God made a distinction between the people of Egypt and the people of Goshen, where Israel, the Israelites were in Goshen. The Davidic covenant, alright, and then the new covenant, cut by our Lord Jesus Christ. Every week when we partake the Lord's Supper, one of the benefits as we drink the cup is that it is the blood of the new covenant that paved the way for us to receive the grace that we need in our lives. We'll talk about prayer, the general effectiveness of spiritual prayers. The best prayer is by the believer who is walking with God, praying for yourself. Your prayers will be 70 to 100% effective. That's the best. When you're walking close with God, people say they pray for you. If, let's say they forget to pray for you, you take care of yourself. You take care of yourself running to the shelter of the Lord. That's the most effective. Followed by prayer by somebody in covenant relationship. Who? Husbands and wives. You are in a covenant relationship. Who else? Parents and children. Who else? Although we do not use the word covenant relationship, from scripture, you are in the body of Christ. And together we are in the covenant under the general covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Prayer by a godly person. This is the body of Christ. This is the family of God. The altar. Everyone that is authorized to pray, from the elders to the pastors, to the intercessors, to the leaders. They're all godly men and women. And not only do they carry the personal anointing, they come under the corporate anointing. Prayer, my fellow brothers and sisters in the body life. Very important. I was asked a question just now between the service. All right, this lady was telling one of the pastors. The pastors told me, she said, I've been praying for my daughter all these years. Very little effect. Very little effect. Obvious answer. Does this daughter know God? Is she walking with God? No, no, no. She's backslidden. She's angry with God. That's why. You can pray for a certain, but for a person, the value add of praying for someone is only up to a point. The will of the person is very important. And which is why when we talk about evangelism, you can only, to pray, to have a prayer strategy is only one dimension. Your relational dimension is very important. To build bridges, to sow seeds, and to share the gospel. And similarly, this lady, she thinks as a mother, she just prays, and that's all that's required. It is insufficient. She needs to pray very tactically, very strategically for the daughter. She needs to connect with the daughter. I want to contrast spiritual prayers. What are spiritual prayers? Spiritual prayers are prayers in the will of God according to the Word of God. It means we must pray scriptural prayers. We cannot pray anything outside of scriptural principles. Anything outside of scriptural principles are called solical prayers or soulish prayers. Soulish prayers are prayers from our flesh. This is described in Galatians 5:19-21. They are called the works of the flesh. So for example, if a parent pray for a child in a very manipulative way, in a very controlling way, it is a soulish prayer. And a soulish prayer can deteriorate to become demonic. James chapter 3. When you want to pray for a person to behave a certain way, you want to pray for a person to do a particular thing, alright, you are trying to manipulate. Prayers are ultimately always in total surrender to God, the will of the Father, according to biblical principles. Alright? So I thought I want to highlight this about prayers. Secondly, God has decided that our covering comes when we submit to His delegated authority over our lives. God has decided. So the first point I made was God is our ultimate covering. But God has decided that our covering comes primarily through His delegated authority over our lives. God is the God of order. 1 Corinthians 14, let all things be done decently and in order. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. So He has placed various things in marriage. He says, wives submit to the husbands. Husbands submit to the wives together in Ephesians 5:21. All right, to love the wife. So I know of various situations. 1 Peter 3:7 says, husbands, honor your wives. Treat your wives as a weaker vessel. Listen to her. All right. If not, your prayers may not be hindered. Your prayers may be hindered. That's one thing. All who are husbands, we get scared. Right? So I think of various scenarios. I think of this guy where the wife constantly says, stop flirting with pornography. The wife tells him that, stop flirting with pornography. It will not enhance our intimacy. And if he persists in that, he's going to get into trouble sometimes. Or the wife tells the husband, all right, they are fresh graduates, newly married for 18 months. The good friend of the husband told him, why don't he invest some money in this commodity trading? The wife tell him, no, I smell a rat. Don't. These are hard-earned savings. We just recently graduated. We just got married. All right? And if he doesn't listen to her, $5,000 down the drain. Listen. The covenant relationship is very important. Or the wife telling the husband, you need to watch the temper of yours. You cannot just let go of your temper, all right, just because you are angry and so forth. You need to rein in. Have some sense of self-control in a marriage relationship. And that's why we need to learn to submit to each other, husbands to wives, wives to husbands. In the family, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And we see this vividly in the example of Job and his children. Every day, Job chapter 1 verse 5, Job will offer burnt offerings according to each of the number of his children, for the sons and for the daughters. The Bible says, the last line, Job did this regularly. And Job chapter 1 verse 5 created Job chapter 1 verse 10. Job chapter 1 verse 10 is called the hedge of protection. Around his household, around everything, and everything that's got to do with the household. and all who are parents. This is the responsibility of parents. I'm going to show a video clip of what this pastor has got to share and to speak about fighting for your family in prayer. Let's watch a video.
I'm not afraid to raise kids and raise grandkids in this time because we have the promise that no weapon formed against the home that is built upon the rock will prosper. Fight for your family. Fight for your marriage. Don't give up on it. Fight for it. Fight for your wife. Fight for your husband. Fight for your sons and your daughters, because Satan is on a rampage. And he wants to destroy the church, but he can't destroy the church without destroying the home. I plead the blood of Jesus over my children, one after another after another. And people say that's old fashioned, that's old school. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I've learned that that old stuff works. That they may drink from the rivers of rebellion and they may go down the wrong path, but if you put enough blood on them and enough prayer on them and enough intercession on them, there's no hell hole that can hold them. God will bring them out. There's nothing more important than what you're doing right now. It's more important than a ball game. It's more important. We've lost that. See, we don't believe this old stuff anymore. But I'm going to tell you, beware of dangerous distractions that take you and your family away at critical times when the children need to be in the house of God. We're not going to let hell raise our children. We're not going to let gangs raise our children. We're not going to let Hollywood raise our children. We need to raise our children. If you'll fight for your family, God will fight for you.
If you will fight for your family, God will fight for you. That's what Joshua said. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Every day, all who are parents, every couple, every marriage, and you're a single person, pray for your family. Every day, appropriate the blood of Jesus over the lentils of your household. Every day, plead the blood of Jesus over every member of the family, over your spouse, over your children, over David, over Evelyn, over Joshua, over Mark, over Cheryl, over your domestic helper. If you need to, over your dogs and your cats. Every day, plead the blood of Jesus. When I travel away, when I come back once in a while, well, I do that again. I speak the shalom of God, the peace of God into the household. Because people come in and out of the house, the aircon maintenance man comes in, the Singtel telecoms man comes in to do some repair work, the gardener comes in, or your neighbor comes in, or some visitor comes in. You do not know what they bring along or what they leave behind. You take nothing for granted. Every day, cleanse your house, bring it under the blood. That's what the Israelites did in Exodus chapter 12. They applied the blood on the doorpost of their house, which means that this house is marked by God, Satan out of bounds. Don't let your children, and today not only do thieves climb over, you have thieves and all these things coming through the internet. Don't let your children be raised by the internet. Ask God to establish boundaries. Ask God to uphold your household with the word of His power. Hebrews 1:3. In the church, there are many scriptures. Let's read it together. Hebrews 13:17. 1, 2, read. Remember. Those who rule over you. The church is not a democracy. The church is a theocracy. Those who rule over you, those who shepherd you, those who pastor over you. You need to submit to your cell leaders. Cell leaders to your supervisors, to your overseers, to your cell pastors, and ultimately to the elders. It's not equal voice. You do not vote your pastors in. It's not a democracy. I am not voted in. Neither are the elders voted in. Elders appoint elders according to the scriptural patterns. The apostles, Apostle Paul, he went from town to town. You read the epistles. He appointed the elders. And that's what we do. We do it according to the scriptural pattern, not according to secular pattern. You do not vote in. And what do? To render to Caesar, we have AGM. What do? We announce the people we have appointed. We don't announce the people that are voted in. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 and 13, we urge you, brethren, recognize those who labor among you, who are over you in the Lord. That's the scriptural principle. They are over you. Don't think of the secular hierarchy. Think of them as a covering. Your shepherds, your pastors. And therefore, you cannot afford to be a spectator in the church. You must belong to a small group. And in BBTC, we have what we call a relational covering structure. Study this slide carefully. Are you in a cell group? Are you in a cell group number 9 or number 7 or number 6? MR stands for mentoring relationship. Are you in a mentoring relationship? MG stands for mentoring groups. There are formal and informal mentoring relationships and mentoring groups in this church. For example, yesterday the elders met and we were talking about what makes a strong marriage and what makes a strong family. And we were talking about marriage mentoring. And we said that nothing bottlenecks by a person. And I'm aware, like for example, Pastor Jerry is in charge of premarital counseling. And when the couples get married, we try to pair them up with a marriage mentor. Alright? We know that not every case works. Most cases work. Some cases because of chemistry again. Alright? It doesn't work. Then find another mentor. And I'm aware some of you came last week, there was a couple who came to me, Pastor, can you pray for us? The couple, the man and the woman, they committed themselves to mentor younger couples. And that's what we want to encourage in this church, a mentoring culture, a discipling culture, life speaking to lives. This is a disciple-making church. And if you are doing that, you need to be accountable. You need to inform somebody, ultimately not sure, inform a cell pastor or cell overseer, alright? So everything that happens in this church, I dare not say 100%, but a good 95-98%. It must be captured through the body life system, and every day there is pastoral staff, house of prayer covering. Every day, Monday to Fridays, mid-morning is anchored by one pastor, mid-afternoon is anchored by another pastor. Every Saturday, alright, except for the previous night is the W&I, there's a prayer in my home. And if I'm out of town, it'll be Elder Locke's house. If Elder Locke is out of town, it'll be Elder Peng's house. Where most things in the church, the critical things are covered. For example, yesterday we had Alpha Day away. It is covered. Next Saturday we'll be RTF Ministry Day. It'll be covered. Your cell group meetings, every service is covered. All the language services. Why? Why do we pray? Because prayer is the anchor, is the powerhouse of everything that goes on. The purposes of God, the grace of God, comes on the tracks of prayer. The grace of God comes on the tracks of our prayers. And that's why we must pray. And ultimately to the council of elders and so forth. So therefore, you need to ask yourself the question, do you belong to a small group called a cell group? If not, at the end of the service, please see somebody. Alright? Now, I also want to say that for some of us, because of some obvious reasons, for example, you may have reached another season in your life in which what the cell group are doing is not what you want to do. You want to move on. Alright? So say a good goodbye, bless the leader, look around, move on to another cell group. Right? This is exceptional. Alright? We're talking about 1-2% of the church. If for some reason there is no chemistry now in this new season of your life with your cell leader or your cell supervisor, bless them, discuss properly, connect with another leader in another trap. We have about 13, 14, 15 traps. I can't remember already. Alright? And then move on. Do it properly, do it well. Have the blessing of your existing leader to bless you before you're accepted by the new leader. This is the protocol. We require everyone to belong to a cell group or to a mentoring relationship, a mentoring group. There was one guy, he came to me. He said he first came to this church, he's new, alright, about a year each. He went to the first church, first cell group, he said something, and then they were all offended with him, he was offended with them, alright. He was scolded by one pastor, okay, I do not know the context, and they said this morning he went to speak to two other pastors to try to get reconnected. We try again. Love covers over a multitude of sins. Okay, you want to look for the perfect cell group, it doesn't exist here. And that's the irony. Very easy to worship God. Raise your hands. You are my shield. You are my shelter. Come to relating to your brother, sister in the cell group. But that's what it's all about. You cannot say you love God but hate your brother. You cannot say you love God but hate your sister. It must be translated into human relationships. Accountability and covering. I mentioned every accountability. What are you accountable for? You are accountable for non-routine matters. Your child fell sick. Somebody met an accident. The doctor gave you a bad diagnosis. You're going for a job interview. These are all non-routine matters. Pastor Singh is not here because he does WhatsApp the pastoral group. Non-routine. I'm going to the Mandarin worship to preach there. So he got to brush up his Mandarin, all right? This morning, he asked for special prayer, non-routine, okay? And then we pray and communicate to lubricate the whole process. So it takes two hands to clap. It takes two hands to clap in a relationship. Accountability reciprocated by prayer covering. If the cell leader feels that, wow, this is something too heavy, police case or whatever, then he surfaces it all the way, and if need to, all the way up to the council of elders. Matthew 16:19 and Matthew 18:18. Jesus is building the church. He says, and he builds the church, the demonic cannot touch it. The gates of Hades will not prevail. We will prevail over the gates of Hades. And how to do that? He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth is bound. Whatever you loose on earth has been loosed. We preached this before. This is the power of prayer of agreement. This is the power of prayer of one accord. So husbands and wives, your prayers together, very powerful. Brother and brother, your prayers together, very powerful. Sisters and sisters, I just want to give you advance notice. By now, the body life would have known. Come this 40-day season of prayer. Out of the 40 days, we will devote 36 nights of prayer in this church. And each night will be anchored by a tribe. So at most, a tribe will handle two. All right, the larger tribes will handle three, and which is spread amongst all the tribes, inclusive of our Mandarin worship. Why? Because we're stepping into a new season for Singapore. We're not only going to pray for ourselves, we're going to pray for Singapore, we're going to pray for the nations. And the Lord is calling us to another milestone. And this is a prelude to what's going to happen next year, 2018 and 2019. In the workplace, let's read the scriptures together. 1, 2, 3. Bond servants. Okay. 1 Peter 2:18. Servants. Colossians 3:22. In the workplace, it's fairly obvious, all right? Ultimately, to the board of directors and so forth. Now, in the nation, Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. You may complain about ERP, complain about water bill, but we need to submit, okay? They are the governing authorities. 1 Peter 2, Peter, the epistle of Peter is written to the Christians who were persecuted by the governing authorities, the Roman Empire at that time. And Peter says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of men. For the Lord's sake, as unto the Lord, whether to king as supreme or to governors. When we submit to God's delegated authority over us, we will receive blessings. God has ordained it. He is the God of order. You receive blessings of protection, provision, peace, favor, and you can add on. I will add on and every grace that you need. With every need in our lives, there is a corresponding grace. And it comes true as we submit to the authorities as unto the Lord. Protection, provision, peace, favor, and every grace that you need. Psalms 84:11 says, favor and honor, grace and glory, no good thing will God withhold for those whose walk are blameless, meaning for those who walk uprightly, those who follow the statutes of God, those who follow the ordinances of God. When we do that, we will be blessed. This is God's order. When we do not submit to God's delegated authority, we reap negative consequences. Romans 13:2 says, whoever resists the authority, resists the ordinance of God. Very clear. When you rebel against authority, you rebel against God. Because Satan, before he was Satan, was Lucifer. He rebelled against God. And he carries with him every act and attitude and motivation of rebellion, and is spreading this to men. And wanting men to always rebel against authority. That's why 1 Samuel 15:23 says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And we need to watch that. Okay? Now, when Ephesians 4:27 says, don't give ground, don't give a foothold to the devil. One of the leaders wrote to me, he says that when they went on the mission trip in all the overseas travel, everyone is blessed. Except one particular sister. And they wonder why this sister, she will constantly, she says that she is under spiritual attack. Before each mission meeting, she will have diarrhea, she will have food poisoning, and everybody is okay except her. And in the middle of the night, people will be asleep, and sleeping well should be disturbed by noises in the environment, such as the cock crowing, or dogs barking, and so forth. And this leader was asking me, why? I said, always go back to principles. Principles, if you are covered, there is no ground in your life, you'll be well. And this sister, as we probe further, obviously there were issues. Number one, there's a lot of bitterness in her heart. All kinds of people go on mission trips. But this particular sister, if there's bitterness in the heart, you go on a mission trip, you will get into trouble. Not only is there bitterness in the heart, the bitterness will poison. Hebrews 12:15. There's problems in the marriage. Not honoring the husband, she bad-mouthed the husband from time to time. So obviously you can be prayed over, but if for yourself your life is not in order, you will be vulnerable. You will be vulnerable. When we lose our covering, we are exposed to the fiery darts of the evil one. So, now what is the exception to submission? The exception to submission to God's delegated authority over us is when that submission causes us to violate the laws of God. Acts 5:29. We rather obey God rather than men. Alright? So obvious examples. If in the office you are told to fudge the accounts, your quarterly reporting, your semi-annual reporting, alright? Your boss asks you to change the accounts or to change the numbers, obviously you don't do that. Or you're in marketing and sales, you're told to entertain and bring this very important client and bring him to be entertained by a call girl. You don't do that. Very clear boundaries. You rather obey God rather than man. What will it cost you? It may cost you your increment. It may cost you your bonus. It may even cost you your job. And this is where the line is drawn. You rather obey God than man. We just said of a case of a lady, she has been physically abused, verbally abused, emotionally abused by the husband. And the question, does she still submit? We give the obvious answer, no. Call the police and get a police protection order. Okay, so we need to use our wisdom. We submit to the extent until the laws of God are violated. In the case of verbal abuse, physical, when her life is in danger, you don't submit to the husband. You don't submit to an abusing husband or to an abusing authority over your life. Okay, so you hear me right. Hear the scriptures, know the full counsel of God. Understand the different aspects of covering. Adequacy of covering. Routine days, routine covering. Non-routine days, extra covering. Alright? Obvious. If it's Singapore, tropical weather. Okay? You have a t-shirt, you can run around in the sunshine. Tropical weather. When you travel, I was away, alright? You go to places where it's -5 to 8, 9 degrees. Very cold. Obviously, your one t-shirt will not do, and I'm scared of cold, alright? I probably have 1, 2, or 3 thermals inside. Okay? Depending on how cold it is. Protect yourself. Extra clothing. So we use covering in terms of clothing, or we use covering in terms of the umbrella. If it's not raining, alright, you just want to shield yourself from the sun, a simple umbrella will do. You get a shade. Okay? But on non-routine days, you need a big umbrella, extra covering. So we all need to know that. You're going on a business trip. You are a caregiver. Alright? For this season, for the next few months, you don't know how long you're looking after your mother who is down with 4th stage cancer, and you've got to do regular hospital visits. And you know, the hospital is not a clean place. Or you are on a particular project. Alright? So when you are, it's not your routine week, not your routine day, you need extra covering. Ask for extra covering. Like what you watch in the military movie, ask for air cover. And you belong not only to your biological family, you belong here to the family of God. And that's what this is all about. We are the family of God. Defective covering. It means that the umbrella over you have holes. When the immediate covering over us is faulty, we must bring ourselves under the next level of covering. So when the abusive husband is not providing the covering, who do you go to? You go to your pastors, you go to your leaders, to go to the Lord. And ultimately, you know that our covering is from the Lord. I was thinking of this when I was teaching in this Bible school. This lady came to me. She's the wife of a pastor. And in the church that he was pastoring, the church was just ruckus. The elders were fighting. There were two strong men in the church. And I told the wife, your husband is a pastor. He's being hired by the elders board. Submit to the elders. Alright? What can he do about it? Just do. Alright? Then after every day, she says, cannot. He cannot do anything. Then he cannot do anything. He's backsliding. He cannot worship God. He cannot preach. He cannot go about his ministry with a clear conscience. Then I say, get out. You remain there for what? And this is the general advice I give to people. They come and murmur, complain about the church, this, that, and the other. Ask yourself a simple question. If you are in leadership, do something about it. If you can do something about it. If you cannot do anything about it, get out. You are not the fourth member of the Trinity. Get into a church like BBDC, where you can worship, alright? Where you can worship God, you can sense the presence of God, you can connect with God. Get into a church where you can grow spiritually, and can get involved in being delivered and healed, and being ministered to in RTF, to having a good purpose in life with significant men or significant women in a cell group that is thriving. A church must be healthy. Alright? And right now, this is the oasis in this part of Singapore. Come, alright, and grow. There are reasons why we lose our protection and covering. And we need to recognize this. That means people can pray for you, but if you have holes, even in your own umbrella, it will not help. So for example, if you're not walking in obedience, 1 John 1:7 says that if you are walking in obedience, the blood of Christ will cover you. But if you are not walking in obedience, for example, having an unforgiving spirit. Very clear in Matthew 6:12 and Matthew 6:14, 15, if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you. I mentioned about this lady in this church this many, many years ago. Prayed for her, cancer on the right side of the breast. And after a while, the cancer spread after a year. You have all the godly men pray for her, you will have no benefit. Why? Bitterness. Bitterness defiles. Hebrews 12:15. Unforgiveness will block the grace of God from coming into your life. So not walking in obedience, unforgiving spirit will block. Thirdly, when you are alienated from the life of God that flows in the body life. That means you are not plugged in the body life. You are a spectator. You are at the fringe. James 5, 19, 20 says, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, turn the person back. Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. This is the benefit and the blessings of body life. Those who are backslidden, those who are wayward, are deceived. And they will continue to be deceived. Let's read this set of scriptures, alright? Galatians 6:3, 1, 2, read. 4... Okay, louder. Revelation 3:17. Because you say, and I know of people says, I don't need the church. They're doing well, they're healthy, they're wealthy, all right, I don't need the church. We all need the church. We all need the body of Christ. Why? It's got to do with spiritual life. You watch from nature, National Geographic, alright? A predator, a leopard, a tiger, they will look for the weak one among the deers, alright? And they will try to isolate the deer and easy meat. Same thing. Because you have to look beyond. Because you say, I'm rich, I become wealthy, I have need of nothing. Silly person. Very silly person. We need to know God's estimate. God says, you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Naked means you are exposed. You are not clothed. That's why the counsel follows verse 17 in verse 18. God gives the counsel. You must be spiritually clothed. You must not have spiritual blindness. You must be spiritually rich. And you must not be miserable. We must have the life that is more and more abundantly and living it. Deception. Deception will come, and it's just a matter of time, alright? When the person is more and more exposed to the fiery darts of the evil one, the person will become a victim. Romans 12:3, we are all to have our significance in the Lord. We are to think of ourselves highly in Christ. But here we are told, don't think ourselves more highly than we ought to think, according to the measure of faith, according to the measure of your faith convictions. And this person, if we think ourselves more highly, there's a level of deception. And deception will come again when we are only hearers of the word and not doers of the word. Truth itself will not set you free. It is the knowing of the truth and the doing of the truth that will set you free. Very clear. When we are alienated from the life of God that flows in the body life. And this is the importance of being plugged in the body life. In a cell group, in a small group, alright, that is growing, and in a relationship in the church. The backslider may then be further exposed to witchcraft and curses. There are all kinds of curses that is being, from the obvious going to a bomo, the obvious going to an occultic priest, to word curses. There are people who pronounce word curses, especially those in authority figures, parents over children, teachers, principals, bosses, word curses, alright? Word curses by friends, by colleagues, but the Bible says in Proverbs 26:2, like a fleeting sparrow or like a darting sparrow, you know, sparrows, they dart here and there like arrows shooting here and there. But it says that if you are under the blood, you are covered, no curse can touch you. Repeated in Numbers 23, no sorcery can be against Jacob because we are a blessed people. Even Balaam cannot curse the people of God. The people of God, we are a blessed people. All who are here, if you're plugged in the body life, you're walking with God, we are a blessed people. No curse can take effect on us because we are under the blood of the Lamb. We are a peculiar people. We are a chosen generation. I need you to read aloud the summary. Summary number one, our... Louder. Number two. God is decided. So don't quarrel about our submission to authority. Number three. Number four. Okay, number five. That's very clear. Wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. Okay. Number six. And the different aspects is about adequacy of covering, defective covering. Routine days, routine covering. Non-routine days, extra covering. Alright, number seven. Alright, reasons like not being plugged in, having unforgiveness, not walking in obedience, and so forth. There are two major applications. I want to tell you two stories, alright, two things. The first one is about being plugged in the body life. I don't know where or how I got this story, alright, whether it was email or WhatsApp. It's about the story of the bus struck by lightning. And most probably, it's in a place in India, in the mountains, in the open valley, alright, where it's very lightning prone, where there are storms, thunderstorms, and lightning is very frequent. And many occasions, the buses that carry both the buses are all metallic at the top. They're struck by lightning, and people in the bus, they die. Okay? So I received this story, alright? True or not true exactly, I can't remember the source. But I want to draw the principles. They are biblical principles. So let me read. A bus full of passengers was traveling when suddenly the weather changed in this place, alright? And there was a huge downpour and lightning flashing all around. They could see that the lightning is coming towards the bus and then going elsewhere. After two or three horrible lightning incidents, the driver of the bus stopped the bus about 50 feet away from a tree. And he said, "We have somebody in this bus whose death is a certainty today. Because of this person, everybody else will also get killed. Now listen carefully what I'm saying. I want each person to come out of the bus one by one and touch the tree trunk and come back." Have you heard of the phrase, touch wood? This may be the source of it all. Alright? So, the person whose death is certain will get caught up by the lightning and will die, and everybody else will be saved. So says the bus driver. So they had to force the first person to go and touch the tree and come back. The first person reluctantly got down from the bus and went and touched the tree. His heart leapt for joy when nothing happened. Phew, hang on. And he was still alive. This continued for the rest of the passengers, who were all relieved when they touched the tree and nothing happened. When the last passenger turn came, everybody looked at him with accusing eyes. This passenger was very afraid and reluctant since he was the only one left. Everybody forced him to get down and go and touch the tree. With 100% fear of death in his mind, this last passenger walked to the tree and touched it. Suddenly there was a huge sound of thunder and lightning and came down, and the lightning hit the bus. And everyone in the bus died. The one who touched the tree, he did not die. And there's a lesson here. And it was because of the presence of this last passenger that earlier on, the entire bus was safe. And earlier on, the lightning could not touch the bus. What's the principle? 1 Corinthians 7:14 says that the unbelieving spouse is sanctified by the believing spouse. You may be the only believer in the family, but because of you, the grace of God comes to your family. The rest of your family are being sanctified. That means they are being marked by God. They receive a measure of protection and blessing because of you. When I fly, for example, I say, Lord, sanctify this flight. All the different transit that she's flying. When I'm flying from Lomé, Togo to Addis Ababa, all right, in Ethiopia, sanctify the flight. I may be the only believer. I mean, I do not know, all right. I say, you'll be sanctified. Turbulence, I'll go and sleep. Alright? Why? Because the whole plane is sanctified because of me. Why me? I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. And then the flight from Addis Ababa to Bangkok, Bangkok to Singapore, the same. So if you are the only person, alright, don't say, I may die, I may not die, maybe it might. No. Remember, you've learned from this pulpit, the spirit of faith. I believe, I speak. You learn from this pulpit about developing faith convictions. Okay? So I'll draw a couple of principles. Genesis 39. Joseph was blessed. God prospered him in all he does. Because of Joseph, Potiphar's house was blessed. Potiphar, the boss, understood it. He knew he was blessed because of Joseph. And even when Joseph went to prison, the chief prison guard knew, wow, there's something about this man. That he even delegated some of the responsibilities to Joseph in the prison. The blessing came to the rest because of Joseph. In Genesis 18, God was about to rain sulfur and burn out Sodom and Gomorrah. But because the principle is mercy triumphs over judgment, God spared Sodom and Gomorrah. And remember the dialogue between Abraham and God? Abraham says, Lord, if there are 50 people in Sodom and Gomorrah, would you spare Sodom and Gomorrah? God says, yes, I will spare if there are 50 righteous men. And then Abraham went on to bargain. What about 40, 35, 30, 20, 10? There were not even 10 righteous men in Sodom and Gomorrah. There was only Lot. And in the book of Peter, he called Lot the righteous Lot. There was not even 10. Had Abraham negotiated down to one, Sodom and Gomorrah would have been spared. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Now the flip side of this, those of us who are not really walking close with God, and we think we are blessed and we take credit for our achievements, or we let so and so to the Lord and so forth, but this could be because of a person next to you. Look around you. Probably there is someone around you in the form of your parents or your spouse or your children or your siblings, or your cell leader, or your elder, or your pastor, someone that is connected to you that you are receiving the blessing. Basically, I'm saying that in the corporate body, in the family of God, in the body of Christ, the blessings come. And sometimes what I'm trying to say is don't take all the credit. You are blessed. And this is for us to be grateful that you belong to the body of Christ, you belong to the family of God. You have a spouse who is godly. You have a brother or sister who has been interceding. You have someone who has been standing in the gap for you. In the office, there is a believer who has been praying for you that you may not even be aware of. There's so many factors. The grace of God comes to us through the people in our lives that are connected to us. The other conclusion, the story of two brothers, two set of two brothers. In the Bible, the first two brothers is Cain and Abel. Both were categorically told how to bring offerings to God. But Cain chose his own way. He rebelled. He wanted to do his own thing. And in the end, we know from the Bible, Cain murdered Abel. And God posed a question to Cain. Genesis 4 verse 9. The Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" And the defiant reply, the rebellious reply, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Dare to tell God, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And you know what is the answer? The answer is yes. Cain is Abel's keeper, his older brother. We cannot be like Cain. And there are believers in the church who behave like Cain. I mean, in this case, Cain murdered Abel. Sometimes we murder each other by our words. We kill each other by the poison that comes out from our lips. We constantly complain over the same thing again and again. We murmur, we are critical. We are shooting friendly fire in the body of Christ. We cannot be like Cain because we are each other's keeper. Because we belong to the same family. I mean, you know, in a biological family, many families have been torn apart because of the wealth and the inheritance and so forth. But in the spiritual family of God, we cannot do that. Last week, Pastor Andrew talked about authentic relationships. This whole 2 months, May and June, we've got to talk about all kinds of relationships. But it's one thing to say that we love God. It's another when it comes to our human relationships. Because it is not pleasant. It is not perfect. We also have our right of arguments. But at the end of it all, we relate in our human relationships as unto the Lord. And contrast the other set of brothers, Job and Abishai. They were in battle. Job saw that the battle line was against him from before him, in front of him, and from behind. He was surrounded. He chose some of Israel's best and put them in battle array against the Syrians. 2 Samuel 10, verse 9. Verse 10. And the rest of the people, he put it under the command of Abishai, his brother, that he might set them in battle array against the people of Ammon. So Syrians on the one side, the Ammonites on the other side. Verse 11, very precious verse. Job spoke to Abishai. He said, "If the Syrians are too strong for me, Abishai, my brother, come and help me. But Abishai, if the people of Ammon are too strong for you, then I will come and help you." This is the body of Christ. You know, we have the pastoral staff. We have people in charge of various things. But there are many things that fall in the cracks. We can't do everything. And our job is to equip the body of Christ for the work of the ministry. And just from yesterday's mentoring session with the elders, I mean, there's this cry that we don't have enough people who are married 15 years and above to avail themselves to mentor the recently married, those who are married 5 years and below. It's just one example. We don't have enough pair of hands and feet to look after the young. Enough volunteers for children's church or the youth church. We need more uncles and aunties, people in their 40s to be just hanging around, so to speak, alright, and teams come once a month, twice a month to the youth church on a Saturday afternoon when you're normally free. People who are volunteer for the BCCSC and so on and so forth. We are each other's keeper. And therefore, the bottom line application of today's message is two things. Number one, you must be plugged in the body life. You must be plugged in the body life. And recognize that the blessing of God that comes to you comes through the people who are connected to you because of the spiritual covering, and that grace comes to you. And the other application for some of us is, will you avail yourself? You are your brother's keeper, your sister's keeper. If you're in a cell group, you're responsible to help your cell leader succeed. You're to help your cell supervisor succeed in the cluster, help your cell overseer succeed in the tribe. You're to help the church succeed so that as a church, BBTC, we help the larger church in Singapore bring for the nation and the nations. We must have a vision and a purpose larger than ourselves. It's not just I, me, myself, and my comfort zone. Yeah, take care of that first, but you need to move beyond that. Let's stand as we close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that you are our Abba Father. And you've called us to be sons and daughters in your family. You have adopted us into your family. We thank you, Father, that you are our ultimate covering. You are our shelter. You are our shield. You are our tower of refuge. And you said in your word in 1 Corinthians 12 that you have placed us in the body of Christ. And in the particular place in the body of Christ, we are connected to another member of the family. Just as the hands and the fingers are connected to the hand through the wrist, through the joints. And the lower arm is connected to the upper arm through the elbow. And the entire hand is connected to the body through the shoulder. We are all connected through joints and ligaments, as you mentioned in Ephesians 4. And Lord, would you open the eyes of our hearts to know the place you have placed us in the body of Christ. Help us not to wander away or stray away, but to remain connected, to be accountable. And help us, for some of us, that we need to play a larger role, to be our brother's keeper, our sister's keeper. I know the Lord has spoken to some of you. Some of your hearts are stirred. And again, the altar is open. Whenever the word of God is spoken, you must respond to the word of the Lord. Forget about the person on the left, on your right. And in our times of worship afterwards, let's come. We're going to worship the Lord. Let's respond to the word of the Lord. after me, Father God. I thank you for loving me. For loving me so deeply. Lord, you knew me when I was conceived in my mother's womb. You saw me through so many years, even until now. And I thank you for watching over me, for loving me, for caring for me. I thank you, Jesus, you are my Savior. Jesus, you are my Lord. You are my Master. You are the head of the church. The body of Christ belongs to you. The local church belongs to you. It is your body. And Lord, you have placed me in this local church. Lord, open my eyes to see where you have placed me. Help me, Lord, to appreciate the brothers and sisters that you have connected me with. And I thank you for blessing me through them. Help me to be a blessing to the others. Help me to be my brother's keeper. Help me to be my sister's keeper. Lord, would you anoint my eyes to see the weak and let the strong in me come alongside them. Lord, would you help me to see the weak in me and to go to the strong in the others and to go to them. For you have predestined that we need each other as members of the body of Christ. So Father, we pray that you pour your love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit to let love cover over a multitude of sins, a multitude of weaknesses, so that we will grow together in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that by our love for one another, the world will know that we are disciples of Christ. Lord, we give you thanks. We give you praise. Give us the grace, Lord, to obey your word, to submit to the authorities, as we give you thanks. In Jesus' name. Everybody say, amen. Give him praise. Amen.